Morning. Worthy name of Jesus. Stand before you this morning as a marvel brought out from the depths of hell. Reformed. And I believe that's where we all need to come to this morning, to where we can realize that it's only by the grace of God that we are here. Yesterday, I attended a funeral of a man I met a month ago, 55 years old, and in a moment's time, he was gone. Today, we're here by the grace of God. One more day, one more hour. The message this morning is very negative, and I just want you to bear with me. I have a two-part message, and it'll be half of it today and half of it another time. The title of the message is A Hunger for Healing from Addictions. And this message is for me, and you can see if you can fit in. There's three main players in this message, and the one is God, the one is my brothers and my sisters, and the other one is my own personal desires. The reason for this message this morning is that I've been studying, trying to learn, trying to help other people with their addictions. As we go through this, I want us to somehow, each of us, apply this addiction word to our own hearts. Maybe there's one here that's exempt. Praise the Lord if that's where you're at today. And as I look back over my life, and I think about how many of the times I've been deceived meaning that I have not been able to see my own problems, or I've been in hiding, where I'm not willing to admit that I have a problem. And that's where I want us to apply, look at ourselves. Have we been deceived into not being able to see our problems or our addictions? Or are we in hiding, not willing to admit that we have a problem? So the first thing I want to talk about is hunger. The title of the message is A Hunger for Healing from Addictions, Part 1. So hunger is, so God could have designed man to eat once a month. He could have designed man to eat once a year, once a week, once a day. I mean, I did some research, and there's certain snakes, there's certain bats, there's certain crocodiles can live a whole year without eating another meal, one meal. Can live a whole year, then eat another year. But God designed man where it works best for man to eat two or three meals a day. In other words, man immediately, soon after he's eaten, he's again hungry. And I think this is a spiritual example that God wants us to learn, to follow after. It's about man's spiritual food. He doesn't eat once a year, doesn't pick up the Bible once a year, and he's satisfied for the year. We need to take it up daily. You can turn your Bibles to Psalms 1. couple verses here. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's saying it's going to take effort. Blessed is the man that walketh not. He doesn't do this. He makes effort not to walk there. Verse 2, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, he takes his daily food, his daily meditation, day and night from the word. He can't eat once a year like the crocodile and be satisfied. He's going to need to be hungry on a daily basis. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. If he does this, he's saying, if he eats, he's hungry on a daily basis, and he eats, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What I want us to gather out of this reading in First Psalms is that God did not design man to be full. God designed man to be hungry, to continue to search for more spiritual food. We can't get enough. And the second part of the title says a hunger for healing. Now, this morning, we might say, well, I'm a perfectly good Christian, and I don't need this message. And indeed, if that's the case, if we follow through this message to the end, there's work for us all to do. We can see later in the message. So who needs healing? We all need healing. We'll see later on as we go through this that we all need healing, or we all need to help someone with healing. So there's work for us all. Either we need healing, or we're here to help someone with healing. I just so enjoyed so much the Sunday school lesson this morning. When I finished assembling this and deciding what I was going to talk about this morning, I looked at the Sunday school lesson and I said, well, they're already going to teach everything I had to say, but we're going to go over it again. But I'm telling you that the world is full of people that are in need. And I believe I'm probably the first on the list. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. And we'll start reading Romans 3. We'll start reading at verse 9. What then? It's talking about us. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proven both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What a doomsday story. Verse 23. But what I want us to look at a moment first before we look on to verse 23 is what he says in verse 9. He says, are we any better than they? And that's my question for myself this morning. Am I any better than they? We have all, I believe he says, we have all gone out of the way. We have all been proven to sin. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's hope, verse 24. Being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we can be redeemed through Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. He's saying he is the propitiation, he is the remission, the blood shed for all the sins of the past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by the law of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. So we can see that he is a justifier of those. And there's a teaching out there, brethren and sisters, there's a teaching out there that through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. It's a false teaching. It tells us plainly here that Jesus Christ, for the justifier of faith, of the past and sins of the present. But all sins of the future need to be dealt with in the future. We're only here to deal with the sins of right now. And that's the concern about addictions. Verse 26 says, justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Present, current, believer in Jesus, justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, boasting is excluded. So we believe the process is, first of all, believe, confess, and repent, and be baptized. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. But what I want to look at before we go there is, something that happened early in the life of mankind, in the experience of man's experience, all the way back in Genesis. To set part of the groundwork. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But the tree of life, the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know this is, thou shalt surely die. And then we go on to Genesis 3, 4, and 5. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God hath known that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we have a choice today. We can believe what God said, you will surely die. Or we can believe what the serpent said, and you will become like gods. Small g, it says. And that is meaning that either I believe that God is going to give, is in control of all the consequences and I will die for my sins, or I will believe that I can somehow figure it out. That's what Eve said. She can, in a sense, she said, I myself can figure this out. I can be my own God. That's the heart of the addiction problem, is that I can figure it out myself. Ye shall be as gods, verse 5. Ye shall be as gods. Through our God-given abilities, what God gave us in the very likeness of his own self in the beginning, we can become our own God. We can worship ourselves. And look at what happened in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. And they were down here in the garden hiding because they're not going to give an account for their actions. Not responsible. In verse 10 and 11, and the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So I've noticed in life this is a personal question God asked Adam. Where art thou? Many times people fall into sin, and we're going to look at some of that in a little bit. Many times people fall into sin, and they fall into addictions, and they fall into sin together. But when God came, Adam and Eve were hidden down in the garden, denying, hiding. And God doesn't come to them and said, what did you all do? He came to Adam and said, where are you? And as I studied addictions and as I studied sin problems, I became aware that many, many times we fall into sin together in groups or in couples or in. But when God calls us to accountability, he always calls us personally. Where are you at? Are you deceived? Not noticing where you're at? Or are you hiding down in the garden? Those are the two problems in addiction or in sin. That we are either deceived or we're hiding. But God will always call us personally to accountability. Where am I at? Let's go to Romans 12. And I know we already looked at that this morning. We're just going to look at it briefly again. And one of the phrases that I derived, and you're going to hear it from here on out for a little bit, the message from here forward is going beyond behavior management to total life transformation. Beyond behavior management. And it's very here in Romans 12, it's what we were talking about this morning. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not doing everything right, but thinking right. Sacrifice transformed. A living sacrifice, totally transformed, sold out for Jesus. Verse 3, for I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we talked about that this morning. Take an honest look. Where am I at? Where are you at? Who are you? What is hiding in my life? That's my concern this morning. Eve was down there in the garden at the back end, I believe, and hiding. Adam and Eve were down there hiding. They were not willing or wanting to fess up to where they were at in their world and their life, that they had sinned. If we are going to go beyond behavior management into total life transformation, then we will need to have the Holy Spirit within our lives, within our hearts. We will need to become hungry enough to come out of hiding. And we will need to come to the point where we're hungry enough for truth to stand on the street corner, if you will, begging for food. My experience as I look back over my own life, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to talk about the human defects. God made man in his own like with a will to choose, the ability to choose. We choose God or we choose self. There's basically two options. We choose either God or we choose self. Eve had to there in the garden, she had to need... At that point, choose between God's wisdom and her own wisdom. She chose to take her own wisdom. Sin disease, a little definitions of sin, disease, and addictions. Definition, before we go into Galatians 5. Definition of the sin disease or addictions. Uncontrollable physical or psychological need to engage in a habit, either physically or mentally engaged in a habit. Two categories: substance addictions, which is alcohol, nicotine, drugs, narcotics, there's many more, or behavioral addictions. And I think we have done as a church, as a Christian people, we have done pretty well on the substance addictions. But what about the behavioral addictions? Activities that trigger the brain's reward system: gambling, shopping, internet use, gaming. We could go on and on. There's more and more. But behavioral addictions. There's four characteristics of addictions. Number one is compulsion, an overwhelming drive to do something, compulsion. The second is craving, an intense, uncontrollable urge to have something. Consequence, continuing the behavior no matter what the outcome. And control, the inevitable limit or stop the behavior, the inability to limit or stop the behavior, or to the other control part is to manipulate every situation. Those are the characteristics of addictions. They all suggest uncontrollability. James said in 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's look at Galatians 5:19. And we're just going to look at this and then. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, well, we'll look at these and then we'll go on to a solution. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, heresies. And here, as we see these, we can see where some of these would fit in this substance addiction, and some of these will fit into behavioral patterns. And the behavioral pattern idea will directly relate to this idea of going beyond behavior management into total transformation of life. Idolatry, witchcraft, variance, emulation, wrath, strife. Think about where they fit. Substance or behavior. Seditions, heresies, envies. Definitely envies, behavior issues. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you, before, as I have told you in the past, that which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I believe the reason he's telling us here in the end of verse 21 is, as I have also told you in the past, I'm going to tell you again. Because he realizes that these are issues. These are things that we can become addicted to. If we go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, it's a slightly different list. Let's go to Acts first. I feel better going to Acts first. Let's talk about Acts first, and then we'll go back to look at Timothy. So what if we find ourselves in one of these sins or addictions? And we're humans, subject to failure. Because James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it's obvious that we're subject to failure. Acts 37. Now when they heard these things, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? First part of the solution when we find ourselves in this situation is, what do we do? And he says, confess. What do we do? That's the first part of confession, is I'm admitting that I'm hidden down in the garden, and what, Lord, what do you want me to do? Confession that I'm in trouble. Then Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God hath called. So number one is, if we find ourselves in this condition, number one is we confess that we have sinned. We repent, we change our ways. We be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 1:8, we go back over there. He says, and ye shall receive power after that you receive the Holy Ghost. So we receive power to overcome these things. And it's all over. But what? You know, this is my question this morning. But what if you and I find ourselves tomorrow morning back in this same spot? Back into sin, back into addiction. And that is my burden this morning. It's a burden that I carry with experience. Let's look at Timothy. Second Timothy 3:1. And I know I told you this is a very negative message this morning, but I want us to come to the grips with the idea that we are but men. There is a way out. There's a way for us to overcome this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This section here is more focused on behavior than it is on substance. In Galatians 5, some of that was pointed towards substance, but here this is talking about behavioral addictions. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. An attitude. Behavioral. Covetous. Behavioral. Boasters. Behavioral. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. All attitudes that can dwell in our own hearts. Or can be hidden there. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The list could go on and on. Cell phone use. Spend more time on my cell phone than I do on my phone, in my Bible. Idle time wasting, bitterness, screen time, laziness, gossiping, pornography. None of these are listed here. But they're all part of behavioral addictions. And the scary part in my mind today, right now, is we can have these, be deceived to thinking that we don't have them, or we can be conned by the devil into going back in the garden and hiding and not admitting that we have them. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people, but for me, this is a message for me that I need to deal with. Am I trying to manage my behavior? with how to totally transform life. It's difficult. We try again and we try again and we try again and again we fail. Praise the Lord if you never experienced that. This can be the experience of old men. It can be an experience of young men. It can be an experience of young women. It can be an experience of old women. So the question right now is, failed, addicted, and hidden, what now? What now? We looked at Acts. Now let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. Second Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace, peace, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. This is the addiction that you can cultivate. This is the addiction that we need to cultivate. Grace, peace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. He's talking about us, a different nature, a reformed nature. Partakers, verse 4, that by these ye, talking about you and I, might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge patience, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, charity. Let's look at one more scripture, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things in this world, which are despised, the base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And this is where I'm going to let off, and we're going to start there some other time to finish this. I have here what I call the 12 steps to deal with failure and addictions. And pray for me as I finish studying, preparing that But one of the things that I want us to grasp today is that we need to admit that we can't figure this out. And that we need to admit that within our own power, we don't have the ability to overcome these behavioral addictions. And I pray that we have all overcome them. But my fear is, knowing my own heart, that there's probably some among us that are with Eve down in the garden and we're hiding. Or then we've been deceived into believing that we don't have any problems. Wish you all the Lord's blessing. Let's kneel for prayer.